Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, a wonderful approach. This is your host, Mama Seven, and we're in the classroom. We're here to learn, build, grow, and teach others as we're trying to juggle this thing called life, right? And so what we try to do is find spiritual solutions for everyday problems. This is what we do here. We do this every Wednesday at 8 o'clock. I want to share with you about last week. Last week was a little different. Last week we had a fundraiser, and the fundraiser benefits an organization / program called Haiti, We Hear You. Now, Haiti, We Hear You is a feeding program. And this program doesn't just work in Haiti. They work in Haiti. They work in Ghana. There's work in, you know, parts of the United States. And it is all about helping children and families with food, the very basics. And so during the program, there was a lot of conversation, a lot of education about some of the conditions in Haiti, how long it's been like that. We had some people speak that have been there many times or possibly have even lived there and from there, and just speaking about some of the harsh conditions that still exist there even to this day. And so the fundraiser, the program works with families every single month. Every single month there are funds that leave the United States to go to Haiti to help with some of the very basics in their food scarcity, right? But twice a year, there's a big fundraiser right here around the holidays, and then I believe right around Easter, there's a big fundraiser to try to drum up attention so that people can help again if they can. If you want to hear more information about it, you can always go to A Wonderful Approach, the Facebook page, or the .com. But you can go to the right there, the Facebook page. We're on Facebook all day, every day. You can listen to the program. I would strongly suggest that you do. Take the time to listen to the program because that's where all the learning is. We got a chance to ask some questions and get answers to questions that you may not realize, right? And then the link for the GoFundMe is attached to the program. It's also attached to my page, Mama Seven. It's attached to my mother's page, Khadija Abdullah, our Facebook pages. Go check out the GoFundMe. You can also Google it. Haiti, We Hear You is a very worthy cause. I believe that Mama Khadija will be collecting funds all month. And for those people that are like, hey, sign me up every month. You know, one thing about Mother Khadija, she is ever so humble and so open and generous. She knows that the plight there is so real that anything helps, everything helps. You know, A Wonderful Approach is part of that monthly donation. And that's something I'm very proud of. I'm like, hey, I want to be part of this good message. I want to be part of that thing that helps people on such a very basic level. You know, this isn't about religion. It's not even about culture. It's about hunger. And it's about being human with one another. Take a moment. It's worth the listen to. It's worth the checking into. It's worth, you know, Mom Khadija, she gets excited. $10 donation, $20 donation. Trust me, it adds up. It adds up. So check it out, and, you know, like I said, I had a great time. I was part of the hosting. I was the hostess with the mostest. It's part of the hosting and, you know, asking the questions, and so it was very, very wonderful for me. I learn a lot every single time. This is, I think, maybe our second or third time doing it on the radio. We're going to trip you up one year. We're going to do it in person. You know, we're going to really go all out, but until then, pay attention to the positive things that are going on right now. One thing I can tell you is, like, negativity, Negativity don't stop. They don't take vacations. They're out there with a blowhorn. You know, they're going to get your attention. We have lots of attention going into negative things, but this is a little different because even though it's addressing a real problem, it's done so in such a generous, loving, humanitarian, dignified manner, you know. So with all of the noise we have in our life, take a minute and listen to something empowering. Listen to something where you might learn something new about people that look just like you. So I just wanted to put that out there before we even got started today, because today's one of them days. We're doing nature versus nurture, okay? I really wanted to dig into this. I couldn't let it go. I tried a couple other things, and this was it, and there's a reason why. So we've had this conversation before. It pops up every now and again as one of those things like, you know, yeah, nature versus nurture. It's almost like when we don't have any, when there's not a clear answer, I've heard people, especially spiritual people, nature versus nurture, you know, where basically saying, hey, is it a natural aspect of us or is this something that we've been nurturing? And I love this conversation. If you're interested in the conversation and you would like to join me, all you have to do is press 1. That lets us know, hey, I have the conversation. I'd like to join you. I have more information to share with you. You know, let's make this happen. So all you have to do is press 1. But let me just break down the context, the background, the everything like that, right? So nature deals with a system. You know, nature are plants, animals, and our very basics of basics, okay? That's nature. Our physical appearance, what do we look like? Our personality traits, you know. Do you come from, I was laughing with this, I forget exactly who, but I was saying how I have loud people in certain parts of my family. And then other parts of my family are not loud. I don't like loud. That's not my thing. I like soft-spoken. That loud touches a piece of me where I'm like, hey, what's going on? We about to fight? What's going on? But, you know, certain traits are nature. This is just who you are. And, you know, if you've ever had to go up to the mountain, if we've ever done a retreat, you know, when we're doing and researching ancestors, we're not just looking at name and, you know, birth date, when it came, when they transitioned. We're also, what other kind of information can you get? Like, we found out that, you know, someone who is, let's say, an accountant now, their ancestor was an accountant, this ancestor was a bookkeeper, this auntie was a number runner. This numbers have always been in their life. And so it's like, oh, wow, look at this attraction to numbers, you know. If you come from a family and everybody's a teacher, you know, and teaching is a thing. Now, you may not be a teaching, but the way you do your job may resemble that of a teacher. So I always say, okay, take it a step further with your ancestors. Try to really get to know them. Think about their professions. You know, were they shop owners? Did they work with materials? What did they do? So that kind of information really helps us spiritually because it kind of lets us know I'm connected to this. I understand this. This has been a part of me. And then there's the other side. There's the nurture side. And the nurture side is the part of you that has been cultivated, the part of you that has been growing and grown intentionally and encouraged and promoted, you know. The nurture is the influence around you, right? And I love the idea of nurturing because I can see nurturing changing. What we thought nurturing was 30 years ago won't be the same 30 years from now. And so nurturing deals with your childhood experiences, your childhood experiences. It deals with, you know, how you were raised, what type of rules, spoken and unspoken rules were in the household and in the dynamic, and how did you grow up understanding, and then your surrounding culture. You know, if you grew up, I consider, even though we moved a lot, in my opinion, I would say I grew up in Miami, Florida. And so Miami, it was awesome. It was awesome. It was incredible. I like D.C. where we came from, but Miami was in. So, and when I say surrounding culture, I felt, you know, you couldn't have told me I wasn't rich. You know, I'll go hang out with the Jamaicans and eat patties and ginger beer with them and then go over to Little Havana and dance and have a great time. I mean, you couldn't tell me that I wasn't some jet setter all over the place enjoying myself and having a great time, right? Because that was my surrounding culture, and it was very rich and diverse. That's my nurture. That's my nurturing part, right? And I know you're like, okay, Mama Seven, why? And the reason why is because, you know, this is a spiritual program. We're talking spiritually. We have to begin to put some of our energy into our own nurturing, okay? And we're going to really talk about what it means to spiritually nurture yourself, all right? Why? I know you're like, why do I have to do this, Mama Seven? Every week you got some homework for us. Why is this? Why do you have to do this? Well, and I remember asking Mama Khadija today, I was like, who's pouring into you? Who's nurturing you? And so as I'm asking her, the question is like echoing in my soul. It was like putting a marble in a hollow vase, you know, just bounced around. And I'm like, you know, well, who's nurturing any of us? Who's nurturing me? And so I had to sit back and I'm like, wait a minute. So when we were young, we got nurturing automatically, right? You know, the blessed ones of us had mothers that paid attention. And those mothers made sure we ate. And when we got dirty, they made sure to wash our face. When we had to get ready for school, they sent us to bed whether we were ready or not. You know, we had those things, and someone was actively working with you. I remember growing up having a, and I'm using my little air quotation marks, you know, having my aunties with me. And I had all of these women who took it upon themselves to pour into me actively. And for me, that never stopped. You know, even working with Mother Eagle Ministries, if you can imagine, at 40 years old, I was still young legs. I did not feel young. I did not feel young at all. I felt old. But for everybody else, I was young legs. So I learned a lot because I was still being actively poured into. It was acknowledged, yeah, she's a baby, you know, and I'm sure with all my little bratty ways, there was, you know, not a need to remind a whole lot of people she's the baby, you know. But having this baby status or this young leg status, or in a wonderful approach, we call them baby elephants, being that baby elephant was a flag that this was someone who needed to be poured into. And so that's what we got. And it was a blessing. But now the question comes in, who is pouring into us? Who is now that we've moved out of these positions, you know, everybody's in a rush to grow up, right? Until you actually get there, and then you're like, wait a minute, you know, where's my extra grace? Well, you're not given that grace anymore because you're an adult now. Where's my extra love? Where's my extra anything? Well, you're not getting that anymore because you're an adult now. So as we grow up, we actually lose a lot of those opportunities to be poured into, for us to be nurtured. And so today I was like, I mean, when I say it hit me all wrong. Because I was like, wait, I'm working, I'm in my 50s. I'm still sitting here like, wait a minute, I still need nurturing. I still need that one or two or however many I can get to pour into and into me, because I recognize I'm doing a lot of pouring. So that's fantastic. I'm ready. I've been trained for this. And then I'm like, but I still need it as well. And so it became a whole thing. And I was like, you know what? I got to make plans to nurture myself. And I want to have more conversations with others. How are we going to create this nurturing for ourselves? Okay? We still need it. And so when it says surrounding culture, that's a part of our nurturing. And so, and culture is something that, you know, culture is, I believe, just understanding of collective experiences and similarities that create a culture and community. That's our culture right here. And so we are creating our own culture now. We're moving forward in culture. So we can start creating whatever surrounding things we need our new culture to support us in. So I want to take some time and just speak about what is our nature versus nurture. What aspect do you see in it? And then turn around and let's say, what do you still need your nurturing in? Okay? I am privileged to still have my mother with me. But I know there's still some things she hasn't shown me yet. And then for those that have not, whose mother is not with them, or they, you know, they hard-headed and don't listen, it's like, what do we still need in our nurturing? And I want to share, I want to create a list, and I want to share this list because I want us to really think about, how are we going to continue to nurture ourselves? And I want to just have a quick plug, a shameless plug, my self-care peoples, right? I'm not talking about self-care right this second because we need self-care, right? And we need to be, you know, balancing ourselves, creating good boundaries, doing discoveries, celebrating the inner child. We need to be doing all of these things, self-care, and basic body maintenance. We need that. But when I'm speaking about creating a culture for yourself and creating an environment for yourself, this is going beyond self-care. This is what self-care is going to maintain. Do you understand? This is what self-care is working towards. Self-care should be pushing us to these things. Sit back for a second and let's make this nurturing list. And I have a feeling that this list is going to go somewhere where we're going to have to really be able to say, hey, look, we need to go ahead and create a bigger list, okay? And so we're creating a list of, and everybody knows I do the shows with pen and paper. I got a whole, I got the whole stack of paper right here. And this list is things we still need poured into. And so we're making this list here, but I promise you it's to benefit the next generation who doesn't even know what they need yet. So how are we going to nurture ourselves? How are we going to do it? You know, if you want to answer, I'd love to have some answers. All you have to do is press one. That's going to tell me, hey, I have a clue. I have some ideas of how we can nurture ourselves from any standpoint. You know, sometimes we think, and I know it happens, but sometimes we think because we've reached a certain age that certain things are off limit to us. And I'm like, I think it's the opposite. I think once we reach a certain age, we shouldn't have to be nice about, polite about asking. We should be able to demand, hey, look, I need this. You know, I'm getting old, getting up there. I need you to do this. So I want to start thinking about what is it that we need. Another thing I'm going to tell you is I know a wonderful approach is filled with leaders, right? Everybody's working on their projects. They're this, they're that. I get it. At the same time, you're still going to need something. You're still going to need someone. And so I really want us to get to the point where we're not so independent that we end up losing ourselves or harming ourselves or just not falling into the family way. So we're going to create this list of things we need poured into us still. I have a caller that would like to speak. I'm really, really interested in hearing this. I want to know, hey, how do we put some of that nurturing in place for ourselves? Let's see here. Greetings. Welcome to the program.
Greetings, Khadija. How are you this evening?
I'm wonderful. And yourself?
Good. It's Khadija Stewart. How are you?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Hey, all the Khadijas are absolutely lovely. So tell me,
I know.
How are you, mom extraordinaire, with your... eight and with your very intentional mothering and nurturing, and how does this work? How do you see, and how do you want people to still pour into you?
You brought up the most, oh my gosh, the most impactful situation to talk about tonight. I'm just learning how to do that. Thank you so much for asking that. And what I've learned as a mother, you have to teach the children how to pour back into you. And I'm just learning that. I'm like riding a bike. I'm just learning how to put my foot on that pedal. I just did that for EL Giving this past holiday. So I love to cook for the children. I love to sit them, watch the family, to sit and eat. And I'll spend days in the kitchen. But the one thing that I didn't realize was I can cook, but I don't have to do the shopping. So what I've done is that's the new rule in our household now, that if mama's going to do all of the pouring into everyone by feeding them, then they have to do all of the shopping ahead of time. So that I don't have to leave the house. I can be comfortable and relaxed before cooking to prepare myself. And that really made life a lot easier for me this year.
Mm-hmm.
It did. I enjoyed every process this year.
That's so awesome. And I promise you, out of all of the things I could think of, that's not one of them. I would have never thought to create that cycle because – for most people, their children is where they put the most of their nurturing energy. I never once thought to turn around and say, hey, can you give me some of that back?
Mm-hmm.
In a different format, in your own way, but can you give me some of that back because I still need some?
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
And they love to do it. You would be surprised how honored and excited they are. Even something as simple as like making my doctor's appointment. Right?
Uh-huh.
My children are starting to do that for me. Right? Little things that, you know, we did for them that was just a matter of this is how we function. They're looking right. at mom and saying, okay, mom, you know what? You have a lot on your plate. And even taking me to the doctor's appointment, right? I'm not even driving. I let them do the driving for me. So, wow. yeah, as parents, we have to remember that in order to teach our children how to be better parents, right, we've got to honestly go back to being kids and let them take over some of those responsibilities.
Mm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Especially when you know that's a skill they're going to have to know and apply. So it's like you're
Correct.
Teaching and you're benefiting from the teaching. That's so awesome.
Yeah, and it helps. It makes you feel so much more, how can you, that's that peaceful place, right? That's that pouring
Amen.
Into yourself and nurturing. Now I'm being nurtured by the same people that I once nurtured. And we know in a family when you can do things in a full circle,
yes.
oh, my gosh, the impact.
Yes, yes. And I think that's all of our goals. We want to teach, we want them to mimic us. But we
right.
do we ever give them the opportunity, though, to mimic us? You know, do we give them Ooh. The opportunity to say, hey, this is the way mom did it. I saw it work. I benefited from it. I'm going to do it just like that to her.
Right.
We'll see if it
right.
works again. Wow. Wow, that's an awesome way to start this. I so appreciate it. I'm glad to hear you listening and inputting. Yeah.
I have to listen.
And I'm glad you're like, I just learned this because now people can be like, so if you're my age, you're like, oh, wait a minute. Don't worry. Don't worry. Sometimes it takes a minute when you're so used to being that giver to realize that it's okay to receive a little bit as well.
Right, right, definitely.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Thank you for asking this question tonight.
Thank you.
So much.
Absolutely. We'll speak more soon.
Yes, peace and blessings.
Peace. Family, that was a pretty major one for me. And with my oldest child just becoming of age, he's not just going to age, he's still fairly young. Still fairly young, 24. And so with him still being young, I'm starting to see things. I'm like, oh, you're really trying to be an adult right here. I remember the first time I got a Mother's Day gift that was not macaroni art. You know, it wasn't some construction paper card, even though I still have those. It was a real gift. And it was everything for me. I was like, what? You made this sacrifice for me? You know this? Well, guess what? That's what he's seen. He has seen this so much, so often. Hey, I can do this. So, yeah, it's wonderful to be able to know that not only did your lesson work, it worked so well, you get to reap the benefits from it. Awesome. Awesome. Okay, look, what else do we need poured into, family? And I can tell you, now's not the time to be shy. First one, let's talk about it. Let's be about it. What do we still need? I'm going to put my little vote in here. I got a couple little things here. But I'm going to say, and I know I'm stealing Mama Khadijah's, but I'm going to say love, right? And the reason why I have to say love is because I truly believe that love makes the world go round, literally. I believe that love is the piece that keeps us all together. I think love is, and if you were at the November event, you know the November event was all about love. Wasn't necessarily my plan, but that's what Spirit said it was going to be, and that's what Spirit said it's going to be for the next year. It's about the love. And so a lot of times, as we get older, people may feel as if we don't need those words of comfort. We don't need those words of love. We don't need those actions of love. And I think romantic love probably changes as you get older. I say probably because that's not my area of expertise. But love is love. There's a very basic love that is needed, period. You know, they have all kinds of studies of the impact of love from on babies. And where if they don't receive love and coos and smiles, that they will literally die. We're testing babies, but I wonder if they're testing any elders. I wonder if they're testing anyone, if they're going through the nursing homes and doing any testing. I wonder if our body breaks down because we're old or getting older, or if our body breaks down because we're not receiving the love we once did when we were younger. You know, I'm just asking. So, for me, that love has got to be in place. We need people, places, and things that are going to support and celebrate us to the point where it creates a culture and understanding of love and support. Where we, and of course, Sister Khadija could not have hit it any clearer in saying that we need to be working with everyone. So everyone that we work with, there should be a level of exchange back and forth. You know, I'll share with you, a lot of the people in the feeding program, they will call Mama Khadija and they will thank her so profusely. And you know, the few people I've worked with, and I have very few people, not even with that program, but if you do any little thing for you, they're giving you their gratitude. They're so thankful. And then I have other, you know, I'll pray for you. I'll do this for you. I'll, you know, when you have really impacted someone, they want to give something to you. And that something is love. I believe that we need this abundance of love regardless of age, regardless of gender, regardless of situation. I believe this is part of our challenges in this classroom, this world, is that we are misusing and abusing love and therefore not getting enough of it. So things we still need poured into us, love. Things we still need poured into us. We need to be able to teach those around us how to work with us. We still need that. How about this? I'm going to say this. And I say this because this is an easy one for me. I sit back and I kind of laugh at this. And I'm going to say it. We need accountability still. Oh, my God. Accountability never goes out of style. And what I have found is that not enough of us have our, air quotes again, accountability partners. We don't have someone that's going to sit there and say, hey, I thought you said you were doing this. I thought you said you were not doing that. You know, where is our work? Where are the ones that are going to help keep us righteous and keep us on a straight and narrow? Everybody needs that accountability partner. Even when you have to come and be like, yeah, I messed up, you know, I need some help getting out of this mess. Where is your accountability partner? Where is that person that's going to help you? And so one thing we need is someone that's going to help us stay on the straight and narrow, stay on your D, and do your accountability. I have a caller that would like to speak. I love my callers. Callers help to give me perspective. Let's see here. Greetings, welcome to the program.
Greetings, Mama Seven. Greetings, family. This is Mama K.
How you doing?
I am blessed and highly favored. I feel wonderful.
Awesome.
I had a great weekend this past weekend, and I'm enjoying the show. I am definitely enjoying the show. And I decided, you know, I come with my paper and pencil as well to think about, and I'm thinking about this for myself. I'm thinking about how do I nurture my mind? You know, we have to nurture body, mind, and spirit, but tonight my focus is nurturing the mind. And we have become quite lazy as a society, and what we do is watch television and stay on the Internet. But the notes that I've taken talks about reading as opposed to watching television. Television has truly desensitized us to some very deep trauma. We've become desensitized by watching it over and over and over. I had to stop watching the news because I felt that it was impacting my mood, impacting my spirit, you know, impacting my mind. So when you read, you are not only exercising your eyes, your vision, your mind, your brain, you are exercising that creative part of your essence. Because you are imagining as you're reading. You are creating in your head as you're reading. So reading is a one way to nurture the mind. Positive self-talk is another way to nurture the mind. Because a lot of times, especially people that have had, you know, trauma in their life, and most of us have, the way to get through some of that and to maintain it, that's what I would say, maintain the positive, is through your positive self-talk, your affirmations, prayer, whatever, whatever. Food is also a way to nurture the mind, because if your diet is not good, and this is something that I think came up with the Hey, Did We Hear You program last week, these children are going to school hungry. They can't learn. Okay, so you can't, you don't really have access to all that your little brain can do because you're hungry. So when we put the wrong things into our body, it definitely impacts our mind. So food, sounds, of course, that could be music, that could be, you know, being in a very noisy environment like a factory where you've got, you know, the clanging and whatnot.
Yes.
But sounds is also a way to nurture those positive sounds, positive rhythms that nurture the mind. And along with sounds is scents. Of course, aromatherapy is big right now. That nurtures the mind. But one of the last things that I wrote was beauty, because I'm looking at how I nurture my mind, and my mind is nurtured by beauty. You know, I love beautiful things. I love beautiful things in nature, flowers and blooms on plants that aren't even supposed to bloom, artwork and all kinds of different things that we can do to bring beauty into our life that will nurture our mind. So, you know, and exercising our creative selves is a way to nurture the mind. And this is how we nurture. That's why a lot of times when people become older, such as myself, they'll get a hobby that they never had. Man, I never thought about painting before, but, you know, I'm really enjoying this. Well, they're exercising a part of them, maybe that they hadn't exercised before, but it is stimulating the mind. It is bringing a lot of positive energy to the mind. It is allowing the thoughts to be to roam, to be creative, to be, you know, whatever. So exercising that creative self. So these are some of the ways that I thought that I am going, that I do in my life, and that I want to increase to exercise the mind.
Amen. You know. That was so awesome. And I
nurture the mind.
I was writing as you were speaking, and I was like, sound. That sound, now you know the sound thing is super important to me. That, and everybody, please forgive my cat, okay? But She's so disrespectful. But when you were saying sounds, I was raising my hand. That impacts my mind and my spirit. In my body, I'll move. I want to move. I want to dance. You know, before we do, before a wonderful approach, when we go down to Tampa, we have a dance party in the middle of the highway in Tampa, okay? We're out there literally in our white dancing, having a great time. But I've also seen it the other way where I'll have a noisy neighbor want to wake up with some negative music. And when I say that thing run all over me, I'm like, wait a minute. You can't be nurturing me with that. That's not working. So absolutely everything you said, I was like, oh, yeah. So the food, when you said the mind, that nurtures the mind and the body. I was like, really, all of these things can impact all three areas because they're so very important.
Mm-hmm.
So very important. So, Mom, if I could ask you one question before I let you go.
Okay.
Okay. So, in this nurture versus nature thing, I believe that people stop nurturing others as they get older. Do you agree with that, or is this something that we need to be actively working on?
Well, you mentioned about the babies, and they're called failure to thrive babies. And it can lead to babies being catatonic. It can lead to underweight babies. It can lead to slowly develop, what is that called when they develop slowly, developmental delays. It can lead to all kinds of stuff if that baby is not nurtured. If that baby is not touched. And I don't think they have done studies with the failure to thrive elders, because in this society, people basically throw the elderly away. So there's no real reason for them to want to even do that kind of study. But there have been studies on older people having pets. And the joy that brings, the security that brings to them, and that has a pot. They say that people that have pets live longer. So people that are married live longer than, say, single people. So there are benefits that talks about thriving as opposed to just surviving.
Right.
But we definitely need to put more emphasis on the elderly, because these are our encyclopedias now. We don't have the written encyclopedias anymore. They're outdated because of Wikipedia and the internet and Google.
Right.
But we definitely need to focus more on our elders and just talking with them, you know. The smile and the happiness and the joy that giving them a $5 bunch of flowers or a single rose or, you know, a good morning or a smile, all of these things impact the giver and the receiver. So that's one good thing about nurture. The people that are nurturing are getting something out of this, but the people that are being nurtured are also receiving. So it's a win-win situation.
Absolutely. And it should be a part. We're spiritual people. There's spiritual organizations, and there should be a level of service. You know, I know that we're working on creating and continuing with, you know, the fundraiser and everything like that, but also that community service. Don't just do this community service in during devotions. This service is something that we need to be doing every single week, because there, one, we can, and two, there are so many people that need it. So, absolutely.
Can I just share something, Mama Seven?
Please.
I would like to share with the family that today I did something, and when I shared what I did with one of my neighbors who was sick, I went to visit her, and to make sure she was eating and had gotten bathed today and her hair was combed and that sort of thing. And I had gotten a phone call, and I told the brother, I said, you know, I can't talk right now. I'm going to visit the sick, and I'll call you when I get back. And when I did get back, I called him, and he said, people still do that?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And I think the reason he said that is because a lot of our spiritual and religious institutions don't really encourage that now. That used to be a big part of every church.
Yes,
it used to be, you know, visiting the sick, going out, shut-ins, as they call them, or whatever.
Yep.
Yeah, the sick and the shut-ins. And that kind of service has stopped. But I remember, what was it, last year, 2 years ago, when you were doing devotions, one of the angels had gone to a nursing home, you know, just to visit somebody that she didn't even know.
Yep.
But people are still doing that, but we need to do more. We need to do it more often.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There are, I was speaking with a young woman, and I was telling her, you know, we were talking about the commitment of spirituality. I said, I need you to understand, committing to a spiritual lifestyle, there's a lot of work. She said, I know. You got to pray. You got to fast. You got to the tithe. You got to do this. I mean, she just listed about 5 or 10 things, and I laughed to myself. I said, yeah, you do. And she was like, okay, you know. And it prided me to know, and I was so happy to know, yeah, these are things that are expected of you. And it made me laugh because she was like, yeah, I know, it's a whole lot of work. This is our work. This is our life. And everyone that has lived this lifestyle or lives this lifestyle knows the benefit. I'm telling you, there's a formula. You know the benefit. So this is just the work also. We can't sit back and expect for the benefit and we haven't put the work in. So I want to gently, and then this was something, you know, Mom Khadijah went to a neighbor. This is a neighbor. This isn't an organization. There wasn't any, you know, background clearance. This was a neighbor. This was someone who she knew and was like, hey, I can see you in a situation. Let me help you as much as I can help you. Let me show you what I can. Let me even point you in a good direction. So much of what we can do doesn't have to be some big grandiose, you know, travel overseas, Job Corps, mission work. It doesn't even have to be like that. It can be as simple as helping a neighbor, but be just as impactful. You know, so thank you, Mama Khadijah, for sharing how nurturing goes both ways. It goes both ways. So absolutely. So family, I hope you got out of this, and I hope you heard something that you may not have heard before. I hope you learn that, one, you can teach your children, and though, you know, the sister said children, but I'm taking it a step further, children, loved ones, family members, anybody and everybody. If you work with someone and you are constantly nurturing them, you can also train them how to nurture you. You owe it to yourself. Give them the opportunity. And like Mama Khadijah said, when you are nurturing, you're getting something out of it as much as the other person is. So when you're studying babies, I know a lot about babies because I've worked with children in multiple settings. There's something called call and response, which they have studied within a baby's brain that when a baby smiles at you and coos at you, it's not really smiling at you. What the baby is attempting to do is to get you to respond like that. They smile, so you smile. they gurgle, so you gurgle. And I'm sitting here, and I'm like, wow, that is really what happens. If a baby smiles at you, I had one smile at me today. I was in Walmart, and all the baby had was like two teeth on the bottom and hair all over the place, and he was out with grandma giving grandpa a way to go. And I saw that little thing, and I smiled at him. He smiled, those little grains of rice, two little teeth at the bottom. I was like, oh, my goodness. And then he started laughing. Why? Because this is call and response. I smile. We're all getting happy. Stop with just children. And I can tell you, my elders and my pre-elders, we need it too. It's okay to be an elder or pre-elder and recognize that you still have some nurturing that you need. You still need someone to call and to check on you. You need someone still to make sure and to manage that all is going well on your side of the block. There's nothing wrong with that. We have to start teaching people how to not throw our elders away. Especially with me becoming one, I'm like, hey, I'm not going anywhere. We have to teach them how to still have value and how we can all work together. And we can continue that nurturing and we can understand and make it natural for the nurturing and nurturing with the natural, you know? So, and I love, okay, things we still need to be poured into. If you are not working with an elder, even if you are an elder or a pre-elder, find a way to share some of these things. Find a way to share some love, text, call, something. Find a way to share some good, positive energy with someone, because I'm telling you, there's some people out there struggling with some real things, okay? Find someone, if someone asks you, says, hey, can we talk? I need an accountability partner. I need a little help understanding this. I want to work on this. Be an accountability partner. Help someone, you know, say, hey, look, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. I'm going to nurture you. You know, nurturing is not all flowers and roses. Sometimes that nurturing is, hey, you're not doing this. Let me get real with you for a second. Okay? And then Mama Khadija said, positive self-talk. You know that's a big deal for me. The way you talk with yourself is one of the most important conversations you can have. What you tell yourself will resonate like a broken record over anything that anyone else can say. Positive self-talk can cure you. I've seen it physically cure before. So, all of these things, great program. A lot of this was for me, and I know it. A lot of this came about because I recognized, hey, wait a minute, who am I pouring into, and who needs me to pour into them? And who do I need to pour into me, right? If you don't know who's doing this for you, look, raise your hand so we can find out how to make this happen, okay? I want to thank everybody for taking their time out, listening to the program. I want to thank those people that contributed to Hey, Did We Hear You, all the guest speakers, all the donators, everyone. Thank you. Sincere gratitude, right? We're moving into the prayer portion, and the prayer portion is one of the most important parts of this program, because this is how we connect with God. And we all need to connect with God, right? Please don't let this be the last prayer that you hear for the night. Make you another prayer after this. Speak and have those personal conversations with God. Build on that relationship that you're working on with God. Moving into the prayer, Father, Mother, God, we come before you joyfully, full of gratitude, fearfully, working to learn and build and better ourselves, working to create an air of positivity for ourselves, for our family, for our community. God, we give you thanks and praise for all the blessings that have come forward as of yet, blessings coming in the future, and blessings that we have yet to recognize. God, I want to thank you for the blessing of children, mine, and all of the other babies that are represented in A Wonderful Approach, Mother Eagle Ministries, and in the Balewa House. God, I want to ask that you continue to watch over our blessed encyclopedias, our blessed elders, as they continue to feel good and comfortable about imparting wisdom onto us. God, please help to strengthen the pre-elders as we're going through our training process now, as we're learning those things that make us elders and that are going to make us pillars in our community. God, I ask for your grace for when we make mistakes, when things occur, when we're acting out of ignorance, shame, fear. Please continue to guide us through those things so that we can move better, be positive examples in our communities, and continue the good work as you would have it. I thank you for all of the opportunities that have come my way and opportunities that I know are lining themselves up. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I ask all these things in your name. Amen.